All right, go ahead and open up your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. We're going to look at a few verses in chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, we're going to start off in verse 5. And it says here, "For unto which of the angels saith he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." And then go down a little bit farther in the chapter to verse 13. "But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation?" And let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would bless this Sunday school class today. I pray, Lord, that you bless the other ones that are meeting now. Lord, right now the Northside Church and the Southside Church is meeting. The Austin Church is getting ready to meet. I pray that you would bless all of their meetings. Amen. Lord, help us all to bring you honor and glory today in the things that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This is a passage that the primary focus of this particular passage is dealing with the deity of Jesus Christ and the fact that Jesus Christ is different than men. Jesus Christ is different than the angels. And in this passage, he goes to great length to distinguish and to prove that Jesus Christ is deity, that Jesus Christ is God and part of the Godhead, and that he is not just some created being. And I wanted to state that so that you know that that's the primary focus of the passage. However, I read the passage this morning because I want to focus on something else. I want to talk about some things in the next few Sunday school classes concerning the unseen world. That world that we don't see, but it still exists. It's a spiritual world. It's a world that has creatures, and it has different angels and messengers and seraphims and cherubims, and they all have pretty important jobs. They have a lot of important work. What I want to talk about by introduction this morning is the subject of angels. I don't know how long it's been since anybody's talked about angels in this class. Usually we don't. We like to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and on things like that. But, I've noticed that it seems like society has a real fascination for angels. I mean, I don't watch TV necessarily at the house all the time, but that doesn't mean that I don't get TV when I'm going through Walmart or at my mother-in-law's house. And so I know that there's some shows out there. I think there was one, I don't know if it's still on now, but I guess it was a pretty recent one called Touched by an Angel. Have no clue what it's about, other than the fact that that it's got an angel in it, that they're walking around here on the earth. I know one of the recent ones that I've come across and I saw it in a preview. I've never seen the show itself, no real interest in it, but I thought it was. And that's about this young girl who's supposedly a ghost whisperer, that she can actually communicate with the dead, And it's an amazing thing how much Hollywood has an effect on the thinking of people and on their perceptions. You might even think in your mind, that there are certain attitudes and ideas that you have and you don't even know where you got them. And I'll bet you got them from popular media. It is a powerful, powerful medium, and it does influence people's opinions. And so if you bring a show on about a young girl who whispers to ghosts, who can see dead people who haven't yet crossed over through that realm, then you're just kind of likely to believe, maybe something like that does exist. You get late night with George Norrie, you know, and you can talk about all kinds of different things concerning the spiritual world, these shadow people, and all kinds of other weird, really weird stuff. And so what it does is it puts this kind of thing almost into this level of science fiction. And it's disturbing because there is some real concrete information about the spiritual world right here in the Bible. And if you understand and you know the Bible, then you can look at and judge some of these other things and realize that there are some of these things that just aren't true. And I guess it's not even the popular media. You know, there's a show from a long time ago. You know, people watch it every Christmas, and I the name escapes me right now, but it's a popular black and white show. You know, It's a Wonderful Life or something like that. And people like to watch it. And I was watching it last year, and right towards the end it says, and whenever a bell rings, you know, an angel gets his wings. And people are like, yeah, well, of course, you know. And so what I want to do is start out by dissipating some of the misconceptions that people have about spiritual beings, and then go into some more dangerous aspects of it in relationship to our own lives. So let's start out here in the book of Hebrews. It mentions angels several times, and in verse 7, I want to concentrate on one fact about angels. It says, "And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits." All right, well, let's come up with some definitions of what an angel is. We can come up with two right here. Number one, that an angel is a created being. Number two, that an angel is a spirit. So the first thing I want to clear up in this lesson this morning is the misconception that people have that angels are dead people who have passed on to the other side. Have you heard that before? That an angel is somebody who used to live here in this life, and then he died and passed away, went to heaven, did some good things in order to earn his wings, and now he kind of goes back and forth from heaven to earth in order to help people, in order to minister them, in order to be guardian angels, so to speak. But I want you to know that that's not true. Angels are not departed humans. That's an important fact to know. Because you're not going to be an angel when you get to heaven. People don't become angels. They're spirits in this particular passage right here. But not only that, look at Revelation in chapter 5. We have some incredible scenes of worship in heaven, which gives you a real taste of what glory is going to be like and the kinds of things that they're going to be doing on the other side. And in Revelation chapter 5, in verse 11, it says, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne." And then it distinguishes others. It says, "and the beasts," and then it says, "and the elders." So it distinguishes between these elders who have crowns on their head and who cast them down at the feet, who are representative of humans, and it distinguishes between the angels. Look in chapter 7 and verse 10. Back up to verse 9, it says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations," this is their origin, "and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." So this is one group. And then look at verse 11. "And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever." Now, let's look at some differences. In this first group, they're singing about salvation. In the second group, they're honoring the Lord in a little bit different way. we can see some distinctions there. The first ones came from all nations and kindreds and peoples, and they're not identified as angels. They are people that have been redeemed from the face of this earth. By the way, you know something? We have a lot of preparation, don't we, in getting ready for things like retirement? You know, don't we put thousands and thousands of dollars into our 401ks and we set aside nest eggs? Why? Because it's smart to prepare for this future time of retirement. But you know, we've got a time after that, after retirement, after you die. You know what our activity is going to be when we get to glory? Part of it is going to be standing around the throne and praising and honoring Him. I wonder how much preparation time you're spending getting ready for that. You ought to prepare. Practice up, man, so that when you get up there, you'll be good at it. Seriously. An angel is not a departed human being. An angel is not someone who dies on the earth and then goes up to be with the Lord. Angels are created beings that are created for the purpose of doing God's will. In the Old Testament, we have hundreds of references to angels. In the New Testament also, we have hundreds of references. I'll just take a couple. Look at Genesis in chapter 19. Genesis in chapter 19. Right around verse 14. It says, "And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemeth as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters here, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And so what happened is these angels had come to visit Lot. Look down a little bit earlier in chapter 19. In verse 1 it says, "And there came two angels at Sodom at even, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. And he, seeing them, arose and met them and bowed his face to the ground and then invited them into his house." And then look down at verse 4. It says, "Before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came in unto thee this night? Bring them out unto this, that we may know them." And of course, we know the wicked intentions that they had for these particular men right here. So two angels came to visit Lot. Those angels were identified and seen by the men of the city. And so everybody saw these angels. Now, when they were looking at these angels, what were they seeing? They were seeing men. And so, just about every instance in the Bible where you see an angel, you see a man. So, number one, there's no women angels. Sorry. You know what that means? That means that all those beautiful little wall hangings and statues that you have that you get from the scripture stall that have these beautiful women in long flowing robes with horns and stuff and angels, I'm telling you, those don't come from the Bible. A lot of those kind of ideas, they may come from mythology. Some of them come from some ideas from paganism, but they don't come from God. My wife, when we were first married, she used to like these angels and things like that. And I said, I love you, but these things have got, oh no, you know, they're just so cute and everything. Of course, when I began to describe the kinds of things that angels do, you know, they don't just sit there and kind of float around and look cute and act cute, you know. They actually annihilate people. They are fighters. They actually protect against the forces of evil. I mean, they are a different creature than you might think. And so you might think, well, you know, what's the big deal? Another thing is that you never see angels with wings, by the way. They don't have wings. Another thing, I mean, we could make a list here, but another thing, they don't have halos on their head. Oh, man. So now you got to change your costumes at the Christmas pageant, don't you? Because they don't have wings, they don't have halos, and they're not women. They appear as men. And sometimes they appear a lot bigger than men, as a flaming sword, as one prophet found out one time when he actually met an angel. But they appear many times as men. And you think, okay, what's the big deal? You know, so what if we characterize angels this way? Listen, the way that we characterize them is the way that the world also is going to perceive them. So you got to be real careful.
Amen.
Be real careful of what kind of images of spiritual things you decide to put in your house. Now, I'm not preaching this message just so that you can go get all your angels down off the walls, but that is a good side. You know, take them down. By the way, you know, you don't have to spend hundreds of dollars on a Thomas Kincaid picture with a scripture on the bottom in order to be a dedicated Christian. I'm telling you something, and this isn't has nothing to do with angels. A lot of the Christian so-called outlets and bookstores, I mean, they're going to sell you everything just because they know that people like to buy stuff. They'll sell you a Christian pencil. I don't know how a pencil gets saved. I haven't figured that part out. But it's a Christian pencil. You know? Now, I'm not above, if you want to buy a pencil that has the Word of God stamped on it or something like that. If you want to put a painting in your house that, but man, there's you go and you can get a pencil at Walmart for a tenth of the price that you can buy a Christian pencil for. Just be careful what you're buying. I'm telling you, it's a business. People are in the business to fleece Christians out of their money. Well, I'll say one more thing, as long as we're on the subject, even though we're really here to talk about angels. Be careful just because someone has a fish on their advertisement or on their... Because, you know, there's a lot of people that aren't Christians that will put that fish on there. I remember I was in a mechanic one time and he had a little fish on there. And I said, man, thank the Lord that I don't know what I said. And he was just kind of looking at me like that. Oh, no, I'm talking about the fish right here that you, and you're Christian. What church you go to? And I found out he didn't really go to church at all. He had no real explanation for that. I'm telling you something. Just because you put a fish on there doesn't mean anything. Watch Christian symbols. Watch it with these little fishes and with crosses and everything. Let me tell you, we know the one true God.
Amen.
We don't need images.
Amen.
We don't need statues.
Amen.
We don't need physical representations. You notice we don't have any angels around here at all. The only images we have up on the walls are images of missionaries. And I guess some people may have a problem with that, but we don't bow down and worship to those images. They're just pictures. Show. Maybe we ought to take them down. I don't know. No. All right. So they appear in human form. Look at Luke in chapter 1 in verse 26. Luke chapter 1 and in verse 26 it says, in the sixth month the angel Gabriel. Okay, so there are several named angels in the Bible. There are actually two. One is Michael and one is Gabriel. Those two are named. You're going to get a lot of other names of people that think they know a lot of other names of other... Raphael comes to mind. You know where I hear that angel's name quite a bit? On the Catholic Network. And I listen to it quite a bit. I like to hear what they're thinking and what kind of things. And there's a lady that comes on at night that actually encourages people to get in touch with this angel Raphael, who's supposed to have special powers. But angels do appear to men. It says there that he appeared, verse 27, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of Mary. And the virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came into her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Okay, several things between this exchange right here, and I debated whether I wanted to use this exchange or the one where Zacharias was actually arguing with an angel, which is an amazing thing. But there's several things here. What was the purpose of this angel coming unto Mary? Bring a message. You know what angels are? Part of their job is a messenger. Now you're thinking, well, you know, I know somebody that says that an angel appeared to him. Well, we're going to find out some things about some of these messages that angels bring so that we can differentiate exactly who's appearing to you at night in your sleep or in your visions. Number one, this angel was not talking about himself or of his powers or of his ability. This angel was talking about the Lord. This angel was sent. This angel didn't come of his own accord. This angel was sent in order to give a message. I want to make an important point right here. That you cannot summon an angel. You can't call out an angel's name. You want to go out and try to find Gabriel and get Gabriel to come to your aid? Forget about it. They'll ignore you. Gabriel might happen to be right next to you when you're calling out to him. He may just have business in the area where you are. And if you call out to him, he is going to completely ignore you. Because what we find in the Bible about angels is they do God's bidding. God is the only one who can command an angel. Hold your place there. And I want to take you to another passage over here. Look at Daniel in chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10, in verse 10, it says, and this is Daniel narrating here, and he says, Behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hand. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. And now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. So here's another exchange, and we're going to bounce a little bit back and forth between these two exchanges, where Daniel was praying. He was actually praying for 21 days, and he was setting his face. Why was Daniel praying? Daniel was praying because he was reading the scriptures, and he realized that the time of this captivity was getting ready to draw to an end, and God was getting ready to take his people and put them back into the land. And Daniel was excited, he was scared, he was repenting for the sins of his people. He saw that there was a great change come, and so as he was praying to who? He was praying to the Lord God. He wasn't crying out to an angel. He wasn't crying out to a departed saint who had already passed through to the other side. He was crying out directly to God, and God heard his cry, and then what God did is God sent an angel. And you think, well, you know, why does God have to send an angel? Why couldn't he come himself? God created these beings to do his will for his purpose. And he's got a purpose for these created beings. And it's the same thing here. When you read through the message that this angel has, it's not his own message. This angel is repeating what God told him to repeat to Daniel. And so there are several things about this. One interesting thing is look at there at verse 13. He said, it was a while, and he said, I'm come for thy words. He says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. That's 21 days. So the very first day that Daniel started praying, this angel was sent out. So he's up there in the throne room. You can kind of get a picture of it. God's hearing. He hears Daniel's prayer and he turns around. He says, okay, Gabriel, I want you to head out, go down there and answer and tell him what he needs to know. And so, yes, sir, you know, he salutes with wrong hand. He salutes, you know, turns around, does an about face, gets out of there, gets his gear, you know, all the things. I don't know if they have gear. Maybe they have swords. I know that. And he heads out and he's taken off. And he's on his way to Daniel. Where is he coming from? Well, where's God? Where does God dwell? Come on, we need more Bible study in this place. No, it's just that people in this church, they know better than to answer, because there's a lot of trick questions sometimes, right? I ain't answering, he's going to embarrass me. No, you're wrong. So he's on his way. He's traveling. How do angels travel? They use a spaceship. I don't know, man. But he's traveling. He's going on. Some people have read Ezekiel and think that that's talking about flying saucers. It's not. It's talking about the things that God created. Anyway, he's on his way down, and then he meets up with this prince. Now, who do you think this prince is? You might think, oh, he met up with some human king. Oh, come on now, let me ask you a question. What human being can withstand an angel? Okay, even if that man were strong, you know, angels, they don't follow the same laws of physics that you and I. So he could easily outrun him. He could easily go around him. He could easily squash him like a bug and continue on. This prince of Persia was another spiritual being. Now get this in your mind. They started getting it on with each other. Man, they started duking it out. I don't know how angels fight. I'm not sure exactly. But he was withstood by this angel. He was stopped. And they were in